Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ the Savior. Amen. Happy Reformation Day. We're continuing our sermon series today on drawing near to God. And so far we've talked about drawing near to God through personal time in the Word, prayer, fasting, by deeds, by the preached Word, by confession. And today we're going to talk about drawing near to God by Jesus Christ and His gospel. And of course, everything we've talked about so far in this series has been about that, about drawing near to God through Him. How else are you going to draw near to God except through Jesus Christ, the Savior? But today I'd like to look with you specifically at that, drawing near to God by Jesus and by His glorious gospel. And do you think there are other gospels out there we need to be watchful of, false ones? How does drawing near to God by the true gospel delight us? And God, and how does drawing near by any other way be a terror and a grave mistake for us? Let's take a look at this today. Drawing near to God by Jesus Christ, His Son, and the glorious gospel of His grace on this Reformation Sunday. What does God say to us about that? Well, first off, Scripture clearly teaches us in every way that the way to God is through Jesus Christ alone. And there is no other way. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus, His Son. And that's an important thing for us to set apart, ourselves apart from the world on. Because I'll tell you what, the world that we live in doesn't believe that. It believes that there are multiple ways to God. Any path they deem suitable, any way they choose, any road that they want to pick, they think is going to be acceptable to get to God. But let's take a look at how that is a prevalent, not only in our day, but in ancient days. Do you know that God's own people even messed up on that, though they should have known better? Check out, for example, what God rebukes them on in Jeremiah chapter 7. God said to them in rebuke, "Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and go after other gods, and then come and whom you've not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, and which is called by my name, and say we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations?" Then God gives them His judgment. He says, "I will cast you out of my sight, as I cast out all your kinsmen, all the offspring of Ephraim." So let me ask you a question now, time for you to interact and participate here. How did God feel in the Old Testament days about all roads lead to God? Any path you choose, any way you deem suitable. "I will cast you out. It won't work," right? He wasn't happy with it then. He's not happy with it today. That's why we got to set ourselves apart. You've been to the Sunday morning Bible class recently? A couple of you. We looked at Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. Say that, Nadab and Abihu. Yeah. Very good. Now these, when Israel started their temple worship in the Leviticus in the early days, when they're just starting temple worship in the tabernacle in the desert, Nadab and Abihu thought that they could approach God any way they chose, any way they wanted, pick any path they deemed suitable. And in fact, we read about them in Leviticus. Let's see how favorable God was to any path will do. "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unholy fire before the Lord," this is in the tent of meeting, "such as God had not commanded them. And fire came forth from the presence of the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Let me ask you another question then, same one. How favorable is God to all roads lead to God? All paths are acceptable. You can approach Him any way you want. Friends, God slew Nadab and Abihu. And God is the same today and forever. And so we do well to remember, as we set ourselves apart from the world on this, declaring Jesus to be the way, that as Moses said in Deuteronomy 4, "The Lord your God is a devouring fire, a jealous God." Do you remember that? Sinful man cannot approach the holy God in his sin and expect to be just accepted that way. He has to come by the way God provides. And when he does, he can come cheerfully and confidently. But the world says, no, no, all should be well, all should be well. I can go by any path I choose. I can go by Muhammad, Krishna, Buddha, Confucius, Joseph Smith, my own conscience, Mother Nature, my own good deeds, my own righteousness, and all should be well, all should be well. God will receive me. But you know what? They're going to find out, unfortunately, and I pray for the repentance before that, as did Nadab and Abihu, that not all roads lead to God. And he wants us to come by the way that he prescribes for us. And we want to draw near by that, for our God is a consuming fire. So this leads us to point number two. Happily, friends, and this is the good news, there is a way. There is a way to the holy God by which sinful man can approach him, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Here are these words from Scripture where God tells us of the highway that he's prepared by which you may approach him. And you know these words, but let them sink into your hearts again right now and your souls. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's John 14:6. Or you could jump over here to John 10. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he'll come in and out and go and find pasture. If I want to go into the back room over here, do I go through the wall? That ain't going to work. I won't get through. I go through the door. Jesus is the way to draw near to God. The way. Or you could look at John 8 over here. Jesus says to the Jews, he says, I am going away and you'll seek me and you're going to die in your sin. Where I'm going, you can't come. The Jews said, will he kill himself since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come? Jesus said, you're from below, I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. I told you that you will die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. So what is the way to heaven? Through Jesus Christ. And he tells us here how. He says, unless you believe that I am he. So the way is through faith. Believing in me, you can come to where I am above. And so that is great news. We can come confidently, cheerfully, by Jesus Christ and through faith in him. Now, why though? Why is Jesus the only way to heaven? Why is he the only path? Guess what? Where else are you going to find a Savior? Where else are you going to find someone to take away your sins? For you can't approach God in your own sin. Otherwise, you'll be consumed. It would be like if you were at NASA here and you're going to fly the space shuttle into the sun. While your little ship was yet at a great distance from that glowing, burning orb, it would be consumed to ashes. Your little ship would be dust. In the same way, we can't approach God in our sin by any path. We have to come the way he prescribes. And in fact, if you want to look at it this way, remember last week or a couple weeks ago, we had this. Man and God, and the two go together. This is what God wants, but man and God are separated. Look, God is over here. Man is over here, and between the two, there is a great gap. See that? Great abyss. How's man going to get over there? By his own righteousness? By his own deeds? Any way he wants? He's going to fall and go down, down, down. But how can we do that? By a, how would you get across here? You answer. Come on.
A bridge.
A bridge. Do you think I have a bridge?
Yeah.
Of course I have a bridge. You know me by now. The bridge is Jesus Christ and what he's done to accomplish our salvation for us. It's all his work. And because Jesus dies for our sins, he's able to cleanse us of every spot and stain by his shed blood and what he's done for us. And therefore, all of a sudden, man can get to God through Jesus and his cross. And guess what? The other neat thing is God now, through Jesus' cross, can enter into our very hearts and be with us. And so Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. For where else are you going to find a Savior to take away your sins? Jesus is that way. Listen to what it says in Scripture. Christ died for sins, the once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, that we can cross. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against us, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. The Bible declares we've all sinned. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've wandered away in our sins, but God has laid upon Jesus the iniquity, the sins of us all. And therefore, we can approach through him. All the world's religious leaders, by the way, are going to say, do this, do this, do this, and live. Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, Joseph Smith, you name it, Mother Nature, your own conscience. How far are you going to get without this cross? And you want to go on your own? You're going to get that far. Oh, not far at all, right? You don't want to remove that cross, otherwise that great gulf comes back in there. We approach God by Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to this. There is no distinction, says the Scripture, between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all, and he bestows his riches upon all who call upon him. For it is written, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. What name do you need to call on?
Jesus.
There's salvation in no one else. There's no other name, declares Peter, under heaven, by which a man must be saved. And Hebrews 7, I love this. Consequently, Jesus is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? Do you see how God wants you to be with him? Do you see how he wants you to approach him confidently, joyfully? By this way you approach me and you will live and we'll be together in love. And that's what God wants. He wants you to be together with him in love. That's his whole plan. And to exalt Jesus as Savior. So, he is the way, the truth, and life. But the next point is, we need to be careful, because on this Reformation Sunday, we remember that not all who would seek to draw near to God through Jesus come by the right way. And of course, we remember Martin Luther's early life, right? You probably know that story, where he tried to approach God through Jesus, but he approached by the law rather than by the gospel. And he tried to approach God by his own good deeds, his own righteousness. Now, in those days, in the 1500s, all of Europe was Roman Catholic, basically, for the most part. And he was under the tutelage of the Roman Catholic teaching at the time, which was basically, Jesus is Savior, he died for your sins, Jesus makes a good start, but now you finish the job by your own righteousness. You now, by your own good deeds, you merit, you earn heaven by how good you are. You get there by yourself, with, of course, quote, or in parentheses, God's help, helping you along. And so what did Luther do? Trying to approach God by the word, by the law, he became a monk, he entered the monastery, he did mass all the time, he prayed constantly, he did works of charity, but you know how he felt? Worse and worse and worse. Because even if he could keep the law sort of outwardly in a way that people could find no fault with him, inwardly he saw only sin. What happens when you try to approach God by the law? You're removing the stumbling block of the cross. And what do you find when you approach God anyway other than the gospel? Wrath and fire and tempest. You remember when God appeared to the Israelites in the Old Testament days? At Mount Sinai, what was that like to approach God by the law? All they saw were flashes of lightning, peals of thunder, and terror, such that even Moses said, I tremble with fear before this mountain. If I try to approach God by the law, just Jesus making a, quote, good start for me, but now I'm going to get there by my own righteousness, by my own deeds, I'm going to earn it myself, I'm going to come by the law, guess what you're going to find? Same thing. Terror, flashes of lightning, peals of thunder, an earthquake, heavy hail, fear and terror. And I've noticed in my life, whenever the gospel grows a little dimmer and I start focusing more on the law, you know what my relationship with God is like? Darker, more threatening, fearful. Ah! That's not the way to approach it. We're to approach him by the gospel. For guess what Paul says of the law? He says the law brings wrath. Say that. The law brings wrath. Is it because the law is bad? No, the law is good. But you can't keep the law. You not keeping the law, then you are going to get the law's judgment. Wrath. Right? The law is good, but you can't keep it. So don't come that way. Paul says in Galatians 3, all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it's written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. 2 Corinthians 3 says the law, the written code, kills. Yeesh. Don't come that way. For we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None is righteous, no, not one. And if we approach God by the law, we fall. And therefore, Paul gives stern warnings not to rely upon the law. Otherwise, lest we be severed from Christ. And all who rely upon works of the law are under a curse. And Romans 3, for by works of the law shall no one be justified. So, do you ever feel like you drift into that sometimes? You know why we do? I think because we are naturally inclined toward thinking about the law. You know, in jobs, you get great if you get great performance, right? You win. And that's the way in a lot of life. But the gospel is a strange work that God does. It's contrary to how we normally think. Jesus says, you can't do it. I have done it. Look to what I have done and come by that gift of my grace. I accomplish your salvation. I give you the gift of eternal life as a gift. Believe in me and you will be justified by faith. Isn't that beautiful? What was the result for Luther when he came by the law? The guy was terribly miserable. He felt only flashes of lightning and peals of thunder. He came with abject terror before God and had no peace, no joy in his heart. Guess what? If the gospel that's preached to you is producing in you fear, like unholy fear, trepidation, misery, everything, depression, darkness, guess what? You got the wrong gospel. Right? The gospel's purpose is to produce in you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's the Holy Spirit's work through the preached word. And isn't this a wonderful word that, guess what, you've sinned, but God loves you anyway? Jesus died for you. Believe on him and receive the free gift of eternal life. What's that do in your heart? That you're justified freely by faith in Christ. You stand acceptable to God. All of a sudden, I'm like, wow, I feel good. Thank you, God. Oh, my goodness, look what came out. Thanksgiving. Joy. Oh, I feel great. Thank you, God. Joy is being produced. Love to my brothers. God loved me so much, I'm going to love you in the same way. The gospel will produce those things. The law only produces terror. And in fact, Paul says of the gospel, of the law, that it actually increases the sin inside you. You ever think about that? And I've shared this before. If I put a sign up here and say, wet paint, do not touch, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to touch it. You didn't ever think of touching that until I put the sign up there, the commandment, and sin found an opportunity in that commandment and wrought in you all kinds of, I must touch it, I must touch it, see if it's wet. The law actually increases sin in you, and its purpose was never to save you. Listen to what Paul says about the law. If a law had been given, Paul says, which could make alive, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture consigned all things to sin, that what was promised of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So what's that teach you about the law? You going to try to come to God that way? No. Why? It cannot save. It cannot make you alive. What's the law? What's the purpose of the law, you Lutherans of many years? It's to be a mirror to you to show you, oh, I didn't look so good. I thought I looked good. I looked into the mirror of the law. Oh, I have salad in my teeth. I look terrible. You know, the purpose is to show you your sin, to point you to your need for a Savior, so that you cry out like the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 and say, what must I do to be saved? I'm in a terrible situation. And then God comes in, just like Paul did, and said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. And you're ready for that sweet word of the gospel. Luther, when he lived under the law, said, I hated this just God because he gave me a law I couldn't keep. But when he came to faith in Jesus Christ, he said, I felt like I entered into heaven through open gates into paradise. Is that how you feel today? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, says the scriptures. Jesus died to take away our sins. He died so that your sins may be forgiven, to reckon you as righteous, and to cover you with his own righteousness. Do you know how you cross into heaven with righteousness? Listen to this. Do you believe you're saved by your own righteousness or another's? Your righteousness looks like this. Filthy rags, at least under the law. You look like this. Is that any way to approach God through Jesus? What the Bible says is that Jesus, all our sins were laid on him on that cross. He died with our sins on him, though he was perfectly righteous. And then all of God's Jesus' righteousness now is able to be reckoned to you who believe in him. And therefore, you can approach God spotless, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Can I prove that to you for a minute here? Listen to some of these scriptures. It says, but now the righteousness of God has been revealed, apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. They're justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. So whose righteousness? The righteousness of God has been revealed, right? Philippians 3, let me read there. I'll just read it here. I'll quote it. I know it. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but with that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, look at this, from God that depends on faith. God will regard and reckon as righteous the one who believes in Jesus. Paul said of the Jews that the reason they fell is because they wouldn't submit to God's righteousness. They wanted their own according to the law. But Christ is the end of the law, that everyone who has faith may be justified. Romans 5, let me read you that one. I don't have that one down here. 5:17 says, if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, who's that? Who? Adam, right? Death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, say that, free gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Free gift of righteousness, reckoned to you by faith, apart from the law, justified by God's grace in the gospel, based on what Jesus did for you, the way, the truth, and the life. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this isn't your own doing. It's the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. How do we know we have the right gospel? Because we can only boast in this guy, in Jesus the Savior. If we were going to be justified by the law, who's going to get the boasting? I will. If I did it my own works, I can say, I got saved and you didn't because I was better than you. God won't allow that. He has totally destroyed that line of thinking. He says, you're all sinners. If you're going to boast, you boast in my son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, Paul says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Who do you boast in for your salvation? Jesus. Who do you rely on for your salvation? Jesus. Whose righteousness saves you? Jesus. That's right. Jesus is the answer to all these things. And you are not under the law, friends. In Jesus, you are under grace. You are free. And Ephesians 3 says, in Christ we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him, right into the arms of God. So in conclusion then, we can only draw near when we're going to draw near by Jesus Christ and his gospel, but we can come cheerfully and confidently by him. It's not based on, our deeds according to the law, but upon what he's done, his life, his death, his resurrection, and we can come cheerfully by that. And we, like Luther, will walk into open gates into paradise. Here's the final word from Isaiah 35, where God spoke of this way ahead of time. He says, a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. And the unclean shall not pass over it, fools shall not err therein, but the redeemed shall walk there. The redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. In the name of Jesus, amen.